Welcome to the Eclectic Gamers Podcast. Today is Sunday, April 28th. This is episode 218. I am Tony.
And I am Dennis. Oh, you know what? I'm not today.
Tired?
No, I'm not tired.
I am high energy. I'm good to go today.
Yes. And I was sitting there just randomly thinking, you know, all those talk show hosts that make millions of dollars a year, they never say they're tired. And we should be held to that same standard.
You would think.
So here we are, full of love, life, energy, and rain.
So much rain.
Because normally, with thunderstorms like this, one would probably be tired because one couldn't sleep. But you know what? That world doesn't exist for us. Not here on Eclectic Gamers Podcast. So, what have you been up to?
I have been doing nothing overly different than my normal day-to-day stuff. But I did finish the Fallout series.
The TV show.
We'll talk about that in the video game section because I think that's where it fits best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is a video game-based series.
And there's a lot of Fallout news immediately following the release of the show. So I think it'll segue together really good there. Otherwise, I've just been doing the normal, playing some video games, reading, doing a lot of work around the house and stuff. So
yeah,
nothing super special. What about yourself?
Well, I started and finished a game that I will cover in more detail, I figure, during the video game segment as well. Is Double Dragon Gaiden Rise of the Dragons. And that's kind of how they say it when you start the game. So I've been doing that in terms of different stuff that I've been playing. That was a Christmas gift that I finally started up, and I kept kind of plugging away at it because it was a fun little beat 'em up. And other than that, it's been mostly just work stuff and things with my wristwatch YouTube, because we're getting away from the Watches and Wonders big E3-esque event.
Right.
But there's been a lot of kind of post stuff to cover on that. So when I've had downtime and I've invested in the hobby, I've done that. Though I did play some pinball last night before the rain got really bad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did some Walking Dead. It's been a while since I played Walking Dead and Iron Man as well. So
nice.
Because those games, the old SAM system games, they just boot up faster than the Spike system stuff. So I'm just like, I'm going to turn it on and it'll let me play in 5 seconds.
Yes.
The other ones is more like 35 seconds. So,
and you just don't have that kind of time.
I don't. And that's, you notice I picked two games that don't go long either.
Right. So the series is you power on Walking Dead, then you step over and power on Godzilla, then you step back and play a game on Walking Dead, then Godzilla's powered up by the time your game on Walking Dead is over.
Maybe. Walking Dead is very short.
That is true.
Though I did actually get like over 130 million on the game. I only played one game on each. And then I was like, all right, now it's back to doing some other stuff. Like I'm not going to belabor it here, but I could not get any watch straps to fit my Spiru Agnew watch that I was gifted. Not the one you gifted me, but the one yours triggered me getting a second one on. And so I finally ordered from a watchmaker site some ultra thin lug spring bars, and that worked. Now I was able to thread a NATO in, so it finally has a strap.
Nice.
I think they stuck on just some spring bars they had around, is my guess, because they're just way too. I finally looked, I'm like, there's nothing that's going to fit through this unless I find some really ultra thin strap. And then I was like, oh, they make thinner diameter spring bars. So I ordered, I spent like $10 and we were like 50 of three different size. I didn't know which thickness was best, so I just ordered a whole bunch because they're super cheap. So that was finally came. So I had to go up and, power on my lights, and because sometimes you need a magnifier and stuff to get that stuff lined up.
Talking about like annoyance type things, that does remind me. I started reading a novel series that I had read previously the first three books of. Mm. And at the time, it was only three books. Well, now there's eight books out.
Oh, wow.
So I read the first three books again because it'd been, a decade or so. And then I read all the way up and I finished book seven. And then I started book eight. And I was completely lost at the beginning of book eight. I'm like, but I just finished book seven. There is like a 5-year time jump in which there are two side stories of their own book series, which are each trilogies before that cover all the stuff that happens in the time jump between book seven and like characters. Like they were talking about characters from the other books that were dead and everything was completely different and all this stuff. And I'm like, what happened? How, what? So I went online and that was annoying. I'm mildly annoyed that I had to stop reading book 8 because it made no sense and go back and read 2 side stories to know everything that happened to slide back into book 8, which is the last book. Or at least the last book so far. Right.
Yeah, that probably, I think that would annoy me as well.
Yeah.
So I sympathize with this.
It was just, it's like, okay, let's go do this now. So.
Well, you know what won't be hard for us? It'll be talking about pinball, because we love to talk about pinball. And, you know, we have some stuff. We have some pinball news that we can discuss. So I'd say the first thing I want to do is, we do have an email, and it's pinball related. So remember, you can write into us, eclecticgamerspodcast@gmail.com. And this was from Steve. And Steve wrote, he just titled it, "Great Episode." And the message body said, "Great episode from the beginning." Let me do all of that again, because I'm going to give you a good voice, Steve. "Great episode from beginning to end. I admire your stance on DPX in particular, Steve." Well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much.
I think it was your stance, because I mostly just sat there the whole time going, DPX, PX, PX. And you were like,
rant.
Guys, I had 3 Instagram live reels. They were all too terrible.
Yeah, they were bad.
And we did have comments in our, like on our social media and stuff, where people were like, "Tony published the unpublished episodes."
I've deleted every single one of them.
I've deleted them. No, they were terrible. And they're like, "No, they deserve it. Destroy them. Destroy them.
I don't disagree that they cast it into the fire. It, but
no. Yeah. Do it.
It's like,
let the hate flow. Did someone say, "Let the hate flow through you"? If not, I thought it after I was reading their comments.
We did have a lot of good social media engagement after this last episode.
So, yeah. So we appreciate that.
But just the whole throw it in the fire, the no thing, it reminds me. I saw a little animated meme thing where somebody was like, "Throw it in the fire." And he turns and goes, "No." And Elrond just pulls up his bow and shoots him through the throat with the arrow, and the whole body drops. And his whole body drops. It's like, there you go. It's like, okay.
The whole third age all of a sudden became nice.
Suddenly everything's okay.
Leave it to the elves to mess things up, but the alternate timeline can fix it.
Yes.
All right.
Everything's better with an alternate timeline.
So, all right. Thank you again, Steve, for the email. Now, we have a topic. I have a topic for us to have some fun that I'm poaching a little bit from the Loser Kids. So thank you, Loser Kids, for having an episode, because it gave me an idea. And by an idea, it means basically your idea that I just did a little differently. But we're not to that part yet. We got to talk about a new release. It's Home Pin time. You know Home Pin. You remember Thunderbirds? Do you remember This Is Spinal Tap?
God.
You know, I hate having to, I have to load the whole sensor beep and everything into the episode.
If you want to just cut it, I'll
no,
make a new response.
Because then I still got to use the little scissor tool and everything. So, okay. You've got your little bad words in.
There's my bad words for the minute. Gosh darn huckleberries.
No, they'll probably be able to tell what you said, because I don't have a beep that long. So I have to stack the beep, and it sounds stupid, but that's just how it is, because I ain't getting a longer beep.
Beep, beep, beep. There you go. Now you can just beep me myself.
Well, we're not here to talk about Spinal Tap or Thunderbirds. We're here to talk about the Blues Brothers.
Dennis, you know how much I love the Blues Brothers.
I mean, I know you like music, and I remember that you really were very positive on Blues Brothers 2000's performance by John Goodman.
Yes.
Which I think, because he can sing, actually.
He can.
So I didn't know that this was like a beloved theme of yours.
I really enjoyed Blues Brothers. Mm-hmm. I listen to the soundtracks all the time. I mean,
I've seen the movie multiple times. It's a very good film.
No, oh, definitely. Me too.
Well, now you can get one.
Don't know that it's a theme that necessarily needed a pinball treatment, but if it did need a pinball treatment, it needed to be done by somebody competent.
Okay. Well, it's been done by Home Pin.
I know.
And there are a few things to note. I mean, first of all, let's note the price. Cheapest game on the market? It's recommended retail in U.S. dollars is $4,950. I mean, it's been years since Stern Pros traded at that rate MSRP.
That's true.
It's very true. They've gone with an interesting approach on the software. It's been described as open source software. And incidentally, I have a link in the show notes to the article with Pinball Magazine, which has like a newsletter thing that kind of, or I'll just call it an article that goes into detail about Homepin, but for this title. But anyway, so for the open source software, the way it's been explained is people will go to a forum that I guess Homepin will have for the Blues Brothers, and that's where they can talk about software changes. And people, even if you're not a programmer, you'll be able to find the other, like, different versions there. And I guess the moderators are supposed to test them out and whatnot, I assume, to ensure they don't make the machine explode into flames. And anyway, so there can be, people can develop their own rules, because one of the, I don't know if this is the motivator, but we do know that one of the criticisms of Homepin has been people don't really like the rules very much on the two titles that they're somewhat familiar with. So there's that, Tony. Does that help? Open source Blues Brothers.
No, that doesn't, Tony, help. That's the open, last thing so, I want.
Open is a, source. The Linux. Rules. Why do you hate Linux?
Rules. And the balancing of rules in the game. We know, we've seen this time and time again, where good rules can make even a bad game fun. That doesn't come from having a million cooks in the kitchen.
Do you really think there'll be a million, though? I mean,
oh, no, there'll be like 12. But that doesn't mean that that it's going to turn out anything decent. It is going to be a hot mess at best. I doubt you'll find very many that have rules that are even halfway enjoyable. But the very concept of an open source rule set for a game just makes me shudder.
Well, if you're curious about the game, actually going on right now while we are recording is the Taipei GTI Arcade Machine Show. And so an early prototype version has been put on display there. I've included an image of the game that's, I believe, in the booth, so you can kind of get a sense of it. And I think it's kind of interesting because if you look at this, and you can see it, Tony, and the listeners cannot unless they go and check out a news source on it. However, to say simplified is perhaps an understatement. I don't have a great close-up here for us right now of the playfield, but you can see the playfield. I saw someone once basically loosely compare it to Meteor's layout. It does appear to be entirely single level layout, and there's no monitor, there's no like LCD display. They added an LCD display, for those that don't know, to Spinal Tap, but all it does, as I understand it, on Spinal Tap is randomly play clips from the movie Spinal Tap, and then there's like another screen, I think it's a DMD to show score or whatever. Maybe it wasn't. I apologize. It's been a while since this isn't about Spinal Tap. This is not that. This has no monitor. This has no DMD. This has what appears to me from the back box shot to be numeric display, not alphanumeric, numeric displays. The size of these things, to me, the best analogy I can give you is this looks like a Gottlieb System 80A display set. That's what it looks like. It reminds me of the displays I had on Super Orbit and Jax to Open. That's what it looks like to me. But they look like they're just numbers, large numbers, not alpha. So it's going to be basic. The layout, and again, this is a prototype, or setting aside the layout. Well, the layout's obviously an old school simplified layout. The art on the layout is actually included. I'm going to include the Translite. This does not look good at all. This actually looks pretty awful.
It's really awful, especially the Translite. The Translite is so terrible, AI cartoony, weird.
So here's the thing that once I saw this and I saw that, so it's open source, but with a game like this, who cares? ? I mean, here's the thing. When I first heard about the game coming out, my thought was, oh, open source. So people are going to be able to go in and stick in the assets that they want. Well, but there's no screen. So if people want stuff, like if they want to basically not have to worry about copyright issues and they, as their own personal collection device, wanted to throw in movie clips or whatever, it's moot. There's no place to do it. So all you can do is fix the rules, but you could just buy Meteor instead.
Right.
Which they made plenty of.
Here's Blues Brothers as a theme, in my mind, should be treated almost as a music pen.
Well, it's a musical. I mean, right. There's musical numbers all throughout the whole movie.
And
it's like Rocky Horror.
Right. Rocky Horror would be great being treated basically as a music
pen. That's probably Home Pen's next game.
Of course it is. But, I mean, in my mind, there's so many good dancing and singing scenes that not having an LCD to have those scenes activate when you're in modes based around those certain things is a travesty to begin with. And then when you combine it with all of this art and that play feel, it is depressing. That's what it is. It is just flat depressing.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I understand that it's a prototype. Like, you can see, like, the slings don't have plastics over them yet and stuff, but that I can't imagine, unless that is total. Here's the thing. I don't understand if this is play. I want to say the play field has to be placeholder art because it's horrid. It's horrid.
Well, I wonder both the play field and the Translite have a piece of paper across it with stuff written on it in these pictures. And I 100% wonder if that's not just saying this is placeholder stuff.
What I think is going on here, Tony, is I tried to blow up some photos to see what those strips say. I couldn't make it out, but it's probably the art is subject to change labeling, because there was, when Pinball Magazine's article came out, they did have it like watermarked all across there saying that this is just like a, well, I'm assuming these are some elements that were something akin to from the poster or something. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So, but
the play field art is definitely,
I really don't understand putting in placeholder play field art and not just doing a whitewood if it's not ready. Like, you put a big sticker on it to give a, but I mean, you could still have, remember Scott DeNisi when he had total when it was Total Annihilation, right, as a whitewood, and there was stuff written on it. Like saying, like, these are the Elwyn drops and these are the Jake drops and stuff. I get that part. I just don't know the point in just putting a whole bunch of blue all over it. And anyway, it's not a good impression. But
no.
But even saying aside, if they got the art right, would you? I mean, is this going to have audio elements from the film?
I'm going to go out on a limb with that price point and open sourcing the software. There's no way they have the assets for audio. Right.
I do see where Mike with Home Pen, the strategy, and there was I didn't include it in our internal show notes, but there's a thing, you can kind of see it in the photo that I provided on the wall, a little picture. It sort of explained kind of like the flyers that mm-hmm. pinball machines usually have. A lot of this really emphasizes like cheapest recommended retail price of any pinball machine on the market and stuff like that. Mike has, in interviews that I've heard with him before, really emphasized his desire to have something, like, he wants to produce games for people that are looking to put a pinball machine in their game room who are not pinball people, which is so weird.
He's looking for people who want an art piece?
I get it, but it's also weird because he's not established, he's not a major player. So I agree with him, and I've talked about it before, especially pre-pandemic, about that I do think there is a market for lower-priced gaming mm-hmm. that is simplified, but it still needs to leave a good impression.
Right.
And where I struggle is when a lot of people are trying to fill out their game room, and maybe it works a little differently in Australia than it does in the United States, but there are plenty of distributors and such who deal in both new and, you know, they take trades, they have used games. You can get used games. That's my long story short. There are used games that are well under $5,000.
Yeah.
Especially now that the market has cooled off more. Of an era that this is clearly in the realm of, but
right,
you know, if you want a single level game with numeric displays, you can find games like that under $2,000 pretty easily, especially if you're going to the early 80s, which is what these displays look like.
Right.
The thing is, you don't get the theme, but
if you don't have the assets, what's the point of the theme?
Yeah, unless this has a bunch of call outs in the music and stuff, but given the whole open source thing, I'm assuming this doesn't have the song. I mean, imagine how much you'd have to spend to get Aretha Franklin and
here's Hooker
and Cab Calloway and all the rest. I just don't think it's going to be in
Let me put on my tinfoil hat.
That's a tin sound. I made the wrong sound. Go ahead, though.
This is open source because they couldn't get the rights to the music, but by doing the software open source, if they set it up right, people can add it at themselves afterwards, and they get to say, we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Not my fault. Sure. Don't sue us.
That could be right. That would be the best potential for them to get the sales to pinball people. I don't think his market of non-pinball people are going to go to a forum and wait around and hope programmers are going to develop alternate rule sets that then they're going to download and install on their machine.
No. 100%. Anytime I see somebody saying, I'm not making this game for pinball people, I'm making this game for people outside of the hobby, what I hear is, all of you guys have told me that you don't like my game and that I've done something wrong. Well, it's not for you. I didn't make this for you. I made this for others.
Which, by and large, we don't hear that come up too often. But you know what? Since you already made me pull out the censor beep, I'm gonna give you a quote. I'm going to give you a Wesley Snipes quote from Blade. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
Awesome. Perfect.
That's what I feel like this is right here. This won't be funny to a lot of pinball fans, but maybe some of you will love it. I don't know. We'll see. But per Knapp Arcade, I have a link to this as well in the show notes. Dutch Pinball is purportedly going to do their reveal of Back to the Future at Pinball Expo. Now, this is not DPX. This is proper Dutch.
This isn't DPX.
This is proper Dutch pinball.
Yes. They're not putting out new builds of Zidware games.
I think in the same article, Jason actually notes that Homepin is also planning to have Blues Brothers at Expo, which I think is an interesting choice when you go around saying you don't want pinball people to buy your game. But
that is.
I mean, it's Pinball Expo. But
If you fly into Midway, they have statues of the Blues Brothers at Midway. Because the Blues Brothers is very much a Chicago thing.
Yes, it's very Chicago. I mean, the Blues, such a big part of Chicago.
I mean, and they're just four Blues Brothers interested people, not the pinball game. Mm. There is a Blues Brothers convention being held at the old prison that's a museum now in like August, and a lot of the people who've done stuff with them before are going to be there and actively performing.
Oh, interesting.
So like Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi, who kind of took over after John Belushi died.
See, that came up on the pinball show and I couldn't remember that part because I just remember John Goodman in.
Yeah. Jim Belushi was doing did a lot of stuff after John died.
Okay.
Like in the 80s and stuff. Mm. So, but he's going to be there. Some others are going to be there as well. A lot of the old bandmate members who are still with us are going to be there. They're doing like a whole like one day thing at Juliet, because Juliet's a museum now, apparently. But it's going to be a whole like one day Blues Fest concert thing.
Okay. Well, if they have cosplay, someone could try and go dressed as this machine.
They
You didn't know that's where I was going with. What do you think I would win if I went dressed up as the home pinball machine?
I don't know. That's funny. That's funny. I did consider doing the whole black suit thing when I did the meatloaf cosplay for the. I had considered doing the whole black suit thing.
Hmm. But you didn't.
No, I went with meatloaf instead.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. So, Back to the Future. A lot of people love this license.
I've heard it's so been many done people, before. Every time we've talked about it, people are and we've said we don't understand why people want this. We hear from tons of people that they're excited for it and that they're really interested for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, this has been a heartbreaker for a lot of them. I know. And this isn't so much a statement about Dutch specifically. It's a little bit, but it's mostly when it's a beloved theme, people want a major company to do it because they think the odds of it being done well are higher. And I would agree, they are.
They are.
Statistically, they are higher.
Wasn't there a rumor like last year that like Stern was going to do it as like a Kapow or something like
that. There was
a rumor last year about that. Because I recall people being excited for that thought.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of speculation that Stern might reveal. In part, I think that was driven by the fact that Data East so early in its history and Joe Kamakow has such a relationship with being involved with Data East, since they had done Back to the Future before, that it would make sense for Stern, which is just a continuation of the Data East line at this point, really.
Yeah.
Would go and revisit it. But obviously that's not been the case. And I just think it's sort of surprising slash shocking that a company that has spent 10 years only making one game, The Big Lebowski, got such a prestigious license. Personally, I think that this hobby is such an insular bubble that the demand for Back to the Future broadly, like as a license in the community, isn't nearly where people think it still is. It's just not the same anymore.
But, right.
But regardless, I do think as a license, it would do fairly well, or has the potential to do fairly well. But it'll be interesting to see, because like as a game, The Big Lebowski wasn't a bad game. It was maybe very 90s in how it handled a lot of things, but it shot reasonably well. I think the rules were reasonably appreciated. And so I don't think that Dutch is going to inherently, it's not going to look like the home pin Blues Brothers. It's not going to be like that. But there are going to be concerns about the speed of production. And, you know, there have been a lot of people that have just watched Dutch from a distance. And it's all well and good when it's not you waiting 10 years for your game, but trusting to give them money at this point. Are people willing to let them, like, are they forgiven and do they get to linger on? I have no idea. Okay, so Tony, this leads me to a topic that I thought would be kind of fun. I was listening to the latest Loser Kid pinball podcast, and they started talking about like themes and what people would like to see. And we've done this before. But there ain't a ton of news. So, hey, low-hanging fruit. So I'm calling it Theme Dream.
Theme dream.
And, you know, I know we have different feelings about like band pins versus other type of pins and all that, but I just thought it'd be kind of fun. You don't need them in any particular order, but just kind of going back and forth. I thought, given we've talked about music pin here with Blues Brothers, what are three bands that we would like to see just like as a theme, not having to worry so much about, I think the way they did it is they tried to pick company and designer and all that. I don't care about any of that. Just like this would be a good pinball machine. So I'll tell you one of my three bands that I would name would be Fleetwood Mac. The Rumors album could be the focus if you wanted to pick a specific album, but honestly, it's such an iconic rock band. They have a very unique sound. They really should have a pinball machine. It's sort of surprising that they haven't. I think it probably has to do with a lot of band conflict. But now that they lost one of their founding members, if you're going to do it and you want to have access to people doing callouts and stuff, we've seen this like with Rush and stuff. After they lose a bandmate, sometimes the motivation seems to be there. So I think it would do fairly well. And they have quite the catalog to pick from. So I'd say Fleetwood Mac. What's one of your three bands that you would name?
The Boss. Bruce Springsteen.
Mm. Now that could actually, I think his style of music in particular could work very well for while you're playing pinball, because it is very rockin'.
Yeah.
Second one I'll name is Journey. I mean, come on. I think we've talked about Journey before.
We have.
You don't stop believing. You got to hold on to that feeling and hold on to that pinball machine. I think a Journey machine could print money. So I'm always been surprised that they did. It's such fun rock. And again, it's one that when people think about that, they want upbeat, high speed song styles to rock out to, it's just widely appreciated. I think it would do very well. What's the second one that you might name?
Huey Lewis and the News.
I should have known you'd bring up Huey Lewis. You think it'd sell?
No, God, no.
Well, I didn't ask you if it would sell. I'm just asking the themes, but I'm asking the question. You just need an LE01 for Tony?
I mean, it would sell. I don't think it would sell huge. I don't think it would sell Springsteen huge. I don't think it would sell Journey Huey. No, it would sell, but not in the same level. But I just really like Huey Lewis.
Yes. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. For my last one, I would, other than, because there was controversy towards the end of his life. I'm going to be honest, I'll name it anyway. I still think Michael Jackson would sell very well.
Oh, it would. Michael Jackson would sell gangbusters.
I mean, he was the king of pop for so long. The songs are so well known. They're fun. I still have a couple in my playlist that I like to listen to.
I do too.
So I think it would perform very, very well.
It would.
And I would like the music, so I'm going to name it.
Yeah.
What's the last one you would maybe suggest? Getting harder now.
No. Yeah. I'm just trying to think if I want to be that meme-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Swift.
That was almost what I named. Honestly, she's done so well for so long at this point that she doesn't have a machine.
Yeah.
The only excuse is, well, it's not nostalgic, or, well, not enough guys will buy it.
Right.
But she's so big across so many demographics.
I don't think it would matter.
I don't think it would matter either.
I think that would be the machine that non-pinball people buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because my original thought, I was going to go with something, again, that falls into the normal thing, but it's like, that would be huge. That would sell gangbusters.
I'd probably sell more than any of the other ones we've suggested. In fact, it'd probably sell more than all combined. Of them combined. Yes, probably. Probably. I can't wait to see Dutch Pinball when they have Taylor Swift. All right, so then I thought for a theme dream, we could jump to movies. So, yes, I know I've said it before, but it's still a great idea, I think, is Die Hard. The only problem is all right, so custom callouts at this point, because we can't have Alan Rickman and we can't have Bruce Willis doing custom callouts at this point. But it doesn't have to have custom callouts.
Yeah.
And you could get some weird side character, some Nedry version. I just imagine, like, I want a thing where there's a big tower, kind of like in Godzilla, but instead of it lowering, the ball has to fall off the top of the tower.
And there's magnets on the side of the tower to try and pull it into the tower.
Yes, yes. And on the pro version, it still has the tower, but it'll just use this little, like, when the ball is dangling, it can use a magnet or just a regular magnet. But on the LE version, they will use an actual Rolex. And they'll magnetize a Rolex and hold it. It has to have its little clasp undone. And then it'll fall. This is all for the final wizard mode. So most of the time it just sits there doing nothing. But it's worth it. What's a movie you'd like to see done as a pinball machine that has never been done before? I should add, I felt this was obvious, but listeners, these are themes. Now I know Back to the Future has been done before. This is the only stuff that hasn't had a pinball machine. That's why I can't say Crawl technically had.
Because it's technically had...
I mean, I guess I could because they never went commercial with Crawl, but I won't name Crawl. Even though I do enjoy it, it's a guilty pleasure.
The Hunt for Red October.
Some things don't hear, don't react to us, bullets. Sorry, I can't do Scottish and do shoo, 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 all at the same time.
Just because there needs to be a shot where you get one chance at it, and if you hit it, it sets off the ping.
Mm. Oh, I want the ping. I love it.
So you sit there, you're playing, and that when you activate the shot, it can be one of those where it traps the ball and it warns you, and then it shows the shot, and you have one shot, one chance at it. And if you hit it, it just goes, bing!
Oh, and get Sam Neill to do the call-outs as Vasily.
Yeah, you could.
To do the call-outs. Now, I hate to digress again, but listeners have to deal with it. Did you see the April Fool's joke from like Naval News? The media fell for it. They said we had invented Caterpillar Drive.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, it was. I people all these things picked up on it, and they had to go back and put this huge disclaimer. We had correct Caterpillar Drive. We had stealth technology for our subs now, and all these people were reporting it as news. It's like, this is straight out of a Tom Clancy book, guys. Come on. I'll give you one. Obviously, Alec Baldwin played Dr. Ryan in Red October, then eventually that role got well known for a couple other movies from Harrison Ford. I'm going to do a Harrison Ford movie, but not a Clancy version of it. Air Force One.
Oh, Air Force
Get One. Off my plane.
That would be great.
And that line has to be used like all the
of
time.
Of course,
like,
it
every
does.
Time you drain, you maybe you're the villain, and every time you drain, it's him telling you to get off the plane. But that one's fun. It'll be really fun when you have to activate the fax machine to send the alert message to the ground, because people will be like, "What's the fax machine, Dad?" So, but there's some fun things. The little escape pod. You could have a little toy with that. Obviously. There's stuff you can do with the plane itself. So it, I think it has a lot of potential. That was a very well received movie too.
Yeah, it was. That movie was very good.
So that'd really be my second one. I would.
That would be a good one. I'm gonna go with The Martian.
Oh, a Weir book.
Right, and you could have the entire.
What's Taters?
The
what's Taters?
You could have the entire journey. It would lend itself to being one of those deeper pens where you're collecting the stuff you need and you're making the journey and you're solving problems and all of that.
Yes.
It's also one of my favorite films of all time.
Well, it's, I mean, it was a good book.
Yeah.
And it was a good movie. I haven't seen it in a while. I should rewatch it.
It is on, it's actually it. Because I own it and Master and Commander digitally, and they both just stay on my tablet so that I always have them with me because it's my I've got some downtime to kill or whatever, and I will just start one of them because I can watch any of them from like pretty much anywhere and be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, for my third movie, I'll throw a bone to Spooky Event Horizon. Here's the thing, you know, I actually
Mama
went back.
Bear.
The first time I saw Event Horizon, I didn't like it. And then I rewatched it. It's one of those movies where it's like Pulp Fiction. You know, I came around to it over time. Though I don't remember what was so off-putting to me about it. It was just so different, I think. I think it was the psychological hallucination part, and I was having trouble getting around it. One of the things, it's not like a top-tier rated horror movie, which somewhat surprises me. I finally read someone, probably on Reddit, that did kind of an analysis of Event Horizon about why so many people that end up going in and watching it end up liking it. Other than, I mean, it's very scary. In fact, that movie got toned down. There was originally a lot more of the people all slashed up and stuff in the going into the alternate dimension sort of thing. That was, I mean, I think it got for like gruesome nudity reasons got scaled way back. But here's the thing that someone pointed out that I had never really thought about, but it makes a lot of sense. The thing about Event Horizon that works, that makes it work more than how scary it is, the atmosphere, all the rest of it, the science of it. It's by and large, all of the characters in it act as normal people would react to something like this. Like they're making all the right decisions and it's just not working because they don't understand this sort of supernatural element from this parallel dimension. So it's like they're going and checking certain things and they're doing things in order and they're going in groups. And it's like they're smart. They're being smart and they're losing anyway.
That's really good. That's a very valid point.
Let's run for the cemetery and hide in the room with the chainsaw sort of thing. That's not Event Horizon. Event Horizon, everyone is basically making the right decisions and it's just not working because they don't understand what they're dealing with. So that's what I would name. And there are some really fun set pieces just with like the spinning dimensional gate thing that could be a great centerpiece for it. Kind of think like the Lord of the Rings ring. Like do something like that with the triple spinning rings and the gravity well in the center. There's some stuff you could do, I think, with it. So that'd be my last movie I'd name. What was your third one? What would it be?
What would it be?
See, number three is always the hardest.
It is because I have like a couple of ideas and I've got some of them are sillier than others.
Yeah.
But, you know, War of the Worlds.
Which one?
The 50s is my preferred.
Okay.
Though, in all honesty, the Tom Cruise one isn't as bad as some people pan it to be. But I think the 50s one is better.
Well, I would say it's definitely more iconic.
Yeah. And it's got so much iconic sound. You can hear a lot of the sound effects that they created for that movie in stuff nowadays even. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, very much so.
I'll go with that as more a much more out there. Again, it's not going to sell a lot, but
no, probably not. Video games. So I thought, all right, obviously there've been a lot of talk about how we need to have more video games in pinball because we so rarely see it. And there's so much stuff you could farm. I will go ahead and say, and again, I'm going to stress the video game, not the TV show, Halo. Halo can work as a pinball machine. It's got iconic sound effects. There's plenty of of elements you can, it doesn't have to be themed around one specific game, doing stuff with like the power-ups for your power armor, things like the sticky grenades that you could use the action button for. I just think, and the music with the chanting, we got to have the chanting, the old Bungie music and all of that. I think it would resonate really well. There are plenty of people now that can buy pinball machines that grew up on Halo or remember Halo from their starting up in their college years who are, I mean, Halo was, I didn't play the first Halo when it first came out, but I was really introduced with Halo 3. But I mean, it's iconic and it's got some really good scenic elements that I think it would do fairly well, especially if you wanted to make a pin for location.
Right. I think you're right.
So I would say Halo. What's one you would say? Never done before. Sorry, never, Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the only one you have to avoid in Q-Bert.
Yeah. So. Well, and the truth of the matter, I mean, I think the obvious one is Legend of Zelda, but I mean, there was one that was supposed to be that, and it just got changed because they couldn't get the rights.
That's
for it.
A fair.
I think Legend of Zelda is the obvious go-to. Exactly.
I mean, that's the sound. It would have to have that sound.
It would have to.
I think video games are a lot harder because there's so much stuff that I like, but how much stuff is really sort of transcendent?
I play 4Xs like almost like that's a huge portion of what I play, and 4Xs do not translate to. No, right. Nobody wants to play Age of Empires 3, the pinball machine.
No, not necessarily. Though, you know, I wonder if something like Civilization could work. It would require
a real special rule set.
Yeah. But again, it'd be more focused on like the resource allocation and stuff, yeah. or something like that. Same, you know, like an XCOM style game.
Oh, that would be a good one.
So, but yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily name those per se, but one of the things that I was thinking of, again going off of something really iconic, could be Donkey Kong. Just Donkey Kong as a, not maybe the original Donkey Kong, but maybe something more themed around Donkey Kong Country. I'll go and name that as a second one. That's not a Dennis pick. I actually didn't play those games. I've watched them speed run, but I think there's some elements where you could take something very simple, like, you know, get these bananas to gain your, you know, the points, and you know, hit these shots to convey a platforming section or something. I think there's some room there, but you could also just sort of go back to the more earlier format and say, yeah, you're just trying to stop someone from getting up and stealing your wife who very deliberately chose to marry you and is not being rescued, sort of thing. So I guess, yeah, something with Donkey Kong, I think, would, and it's so iconic, that's why it would sell. So that'd be my second, would be something with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And notice we've been sticking very much with a theme here. I will go with, you'll have to let me know. This might not count. This might be a little too treading on toes, but Mario Kart.
All right, that's, I think it's different enough that
racing game, I mean, the high speed games.
Well, that's what Cosmic Kart Racing, I feel, wanted to be, right. But no one wanted to pay for the license that would have made it great.
Right. And I think you could do, especially with all the toys and all the stuff they've got nowadays, you could do so much with it. It would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's a really, really solid pick. Let's see. So I've done a shooter. I've done kind of a platformer. I feel like I want to do, and you've done a racer. And you've done an action adventure. I'm trying to think if there's something where I want to be a little bit different. Like maybe I should go hack and slash and say something along the lines of, I think Bayonetta's too niche. Maybe what are those? Devil May Cry. Maybe a Devil May Cry game.
Yeah,
that's going really Japanese, but it's still mainstream enough. A lot of people would recognize it. Doing shots and comboing in pinball is huge. And that's what hack and slashes are, is about comboing things. So I think you could have just a lot of sort of fun display, a lot of sound effects from the game going on. As long as there's a high flow thing and it focused on combos, I think Devil May Cry could work really well. So
I could see that.
I'll say that as my third.
I would say that, or maybe God of War.
I considered God of War, but then I thought you might want to pick that for your last one.
I mean, that's...
It would probably sell better.
It would. I'm sure. But I was thinking of something very weird, and the only way I think you could make it work...
Roll the Waves. My favorite part is when you have to shoot the left or I have to open your Excel spreadsheet.
True.
You have to simulate me left clicking on the spreadsheet.
It'd be interesting to do. I don't know how well you could make it work, but Tetris.
Mm. That I've wondered about Tetris too. It would be, yeah.
The rules would have to be very careful.
That would be a programmer's challenge to figure out a way to really make it feel like Tetris and be pinball, but it would be so cool to see.
Right.
It would be worth it to see it. So someone do it. So homebrew
it. I mean, because if you did a thing where like you're aiming for shots to basically summon pieces in.
Yeah.
Or if you want to get real crazy. Oh, so crazy. Four buttons. The two of the buttons flip the flippers. The other two buttons move the pieces on the back on the LCD left and right. But you have to hit the targets to rotate them right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you could make this a nightmare.
The LCD would have to be in the play field.
Yes. Yeah, that's the only way that sort of concept would. It'd be so unique, though. It would be,
and it would sell nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, it'd be a big gamble, but I would love to see it just as a intellectual exercise.
Right.
So for the final dream themes, I thought we could do some TV shows. So, all right, low-hanging fruit, I know. Breaking Bad. It should have had one. I mean, 24 had one. Breaking Bad should have had one.
That's
a gimme. Pizza on the Roof multiball.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a gimme. Yeah. I mean, it makes...
I know.
Complete
some
sense.
Of these are going to be low hanging fruit,
right? There's going to we've grabbed some low hanging fruit so far.
We're not too proud to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Babylon 5.
Mm. Oh, I would like Babylon 5. That would be fun. It's one of the first real kind of before Lost gets all this credit for telling this long story over seasons, but Babylon 5 was there first.
Yeah, and its story was like put together before the show was started filming, and it actually makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't feel like you were dartboarding like Lost felt like the last two seasons.
Right.
But it is what it is. Yeah, but no, Babylon 5, what a good pick. I'm going to do a much newer pick, Strange New Worlds.
I mean, there's already Star Trek pens, but it is a different Star Trek
pen. I'm saying specifically Strange New Worlds, only Strange New Worlds.
One of the... A mini wizard mode that's just the musical episode.
Mm. I don't know if I'm going to include that one. They did all right.
I liked it. There were a couple.
Of course you did. What about the Lower Decks people actually being in their universe? I enjoyed that.
That one was better.
And, you could do, like setting up Wizard Mord stuff with the Gorn and kind of like that. So, yeah, okay. You could argue I'm quasi cheating because there have been Star Trek pins, but I allowed Mario Kart.
Exactly.
It's going to just be Strange New Worlds. We ain't going to slip in any Captain Picard into this or anything.
That works.
So that's going to be my second pick.
We're going to go a little interesting, slightly older diversion. Iron Chef.
I'm assuming the Japanese version, not the one with William Shatner hosting.
No, the Japanese version.
Mm.
Just because it lends itself to the idea, because you would activate shots that are you fighting certain Iron Chefs. There would be shots and combos that you did to get and do certain ingredients. So it is in my mind, it lays itself out as the classic Chase the Light style playing to go through it and build your dishes and choose who you fight and all that.
Mm. Yeah, no, actually that would work really, really well. I'm going to go a little more obscure for my last one, though, in that vein, also going with a Japanese theme, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, specifically season one.
Nice.
We're going to focus. I Laughing Man, we can get away with too if you want to, but, and I know there's a homebrew that's done Ghost in the Shell, but really with the Tachikomas and everything else going on with it and the Major and all of that, it's a fun cast and it would sell terrible, but there's a story there that you can go through in the season, just like any movie pin would be. And I just think it's colorful and bright, and you get that that kind of creepy dystopian cyberpunk going on elements that you can throw into the game, kind of like what the kind of pieces we'd see with like Final Resistance and stuff. You'd do some stuff with power ups and things of that nature that would allow you to have certain scoring opportunities, or you maybe at the start of every ball you pick your character from the police force that you want. Like, do you want to be the major, or do you want to be the guy without any tech upgrades, or and I don't know what his advantage is other than having an awesome mullet, but you know, just all that sort of stuff. So that'd be my third pick.
I think that could be a good one. Hmm.
Are you going to pick an anime having to do with weightlifting?
No.
Because you know what? It hasn't had a pinball machine.
It hasn't.
Maybe that'll be home pins next. And
it's an incredibly large amount of fun as an anime. But no. No. I'm going to continue my little oddballish segues. There's two warring in my head. I'm just going to go with the one that I think will sell better. That would be Sherlock.
I haven't seen that.
Good BBC series. Benedict Cumberbund as Sherlock Holmes. A lot of fun. Well regarded overall. I think it would be fun. As everything else, it lends itself to kind of having the journey, you know, with solving cases and everything. So I think it would work pretty well. Though I will throw out a little extra addition. They're at the point, I don't think it would be terrible to have an updated version of Doctor Who. Because that's what I originally was thinking, but I felt just saying an updated Who would be too... It's Strange New Worlds is a completely new thing.
Right. If you wanted to say Doctor Who, but they don't go back to any of the old Doctors, I would allow it.
Yeah, but I think they... I don't.
So you want it?
You could do it as a sequel, I guess. I was saying updated with all the new Doctors and the old Doctors. Sure. But I mean, either. That's why I was on the fence with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Sherlock was a better pick for that reason. Well, folks, if you want to tell us your theme dreams, you can email us eclecticgamerspodcast@gmail.com. All right, video games, Tony. What do we got? We got a whole bunch of stuff. I guess we were going to open with our discussion thing. So. I'll opine a little bit on Double Dragon Gaiden, Rise of the Dragon, or whatever they say it all super excited when it starts. So I started just saying it wrong when I turn on the game. So I'd be like, Double Dragon Dragons, Dragon of the Dragon. And so I have to remember the name, but the name is actually Double Dragon Gaiden, Rise of the Dragons. So they do say dragon a couple times.
So I'm assuming,
and they say double as well. So
I'm assuming it's a combination of Double Dragon and Ninja Gaiden, right?
Unfortunately, no, it is not. I guess there was like an arcade Double Dragon Gaiden at some stage, so maybe it's sort of a play off of that. So if you ever own a NES, you have to have played Double Dragon.
Of course.
And if you ever saw played video games in that era, you probably saw the terrible Double Dragon movie.
Yeah,
this isn't any of that. This is a beat 'em up. Pretty sure.
Well, it better be a beat 'em up if it's a Double Dragon game.
So I did not play it co-op, but it has that option. I played it with tag team single player. So I could hit a button, kind of certain fighting game style, and I could bring in my backup character. And you can pick any of the characters to be your primary, any to be your backup. You gain tokens by cashing out money, kind of roguelike style. Like any money, it costs money to buy upgrades as you go along. Every time you beat a sub boss or a boss, you can do upgrades. They're random that you get to pick from. So think kind of roguelike, though the levels never change. Like the order of the enemies and all that is fixed. And the way the game works is there are four bosses that control regions, and you can play them in any order. But they upgrade the other regions every time you beat a region. So like I did this on Xbox. So there was an achievement for beating all four bosses as level 4, being the fourth one that you would pick. So like one guy, you have to go deeper in the level every time. So every time you go up a level, there's like a new sub-boss stage, and then you have to go further into the level. So like there's one guy who's he's Anubis, and he's just there with his like little staff. And you fight him, he shoots lightning and stuff. So like you fight him right at the near the start of the stage if you pick him first. And then, like, if you pick him third, he's at the top of a pyramid. And if he's the fourth boss, he's not even in human form anymore. He is like a floating Anubis head that's spewing toxic gas and stuff. So there's a guy with a machine gun. His final form is he's in a helicopter shooting at you. And you have to actually shoot him out of the helicopter to fight him on the ground. And so there's all those little elements.
If I shoot you out of the helicopter, yes. I shouldn't have to fight you on the ground.
You're fighting on the ground at the top of on top of a skyscraper because it has to be epic. So, and you can unlock with these. So when you cash out, it depends on how you can adjust your difficulty settings. The easier make the game, the fewer the more money it takes to get a token. Like the default settings are $1,000 lets you have a token at the end of the. Now you can quit anytime and cash out. So you go along, you pick your characters. You can use those tokens to unlock other characters, including like the bosses. You can play them, not as helicopter version, but so you go through it. I got every achievement. So actually I full cleared it. It was pretty well balanced. It was just on the edge of feeling a little tedious, like it was going too long. Given how long the stages get later, it can actually be a significant time investment to go through and play it. You beat the four bosses and then you have not much of a spoiler, but then the mayor will basically let you can join the mayor who sent you on this run. He'll like give you $10,000 and then you can enforce your new police state reality, or you can go and try and fight the mayor, and beating the mayor will let you have $20,000 because I beat him once. I ran out of money one time. I had him down to like 14 health left and I lost. Well, because before I fought him, I had to fight all four of the bosses, sub bosses at once. So it was one of those games where, hey, fight all these guys again. Oh no, all together though. They weren't in their helicopters at least, but anyway, so yeah, it was, it's pretty straightforward. Very classic beat 'em up style. Like there's one attack button for a regular attack. You have one regular attack plus if you jump and whatnot. Right. And then you have like three special attacks and those are how you can get food to get health. If you kill at least three baddies with a special attack, it gets you a hot dog and you can get a cheeseburger with four and you get a chicken dinner. It's more some Fortnite reference there probably. And so it's kind of like it's doing that sort of thing. But, anyway, yeah, it was very throwback, but with enough modern elements and yeah, a little long, but it did let you save at checkpoints so you could come back later and stuff. So it had a good mix of modern recruitments to let you navigate the game. So if you like beat 'em ups, I would say, yeah, it's worth a try. It's not particularly deep. Probably is more fun in co-op would be my guess.
I would bet.
So, and that's an option you can toggle. Like you can do local co-op or online. So.
Well, that's always nice. Not everything has local co-op anymore.
No, it's fallen out of favor as more and more people play remotely.
But. Yeah.
So anyway, those are my quick thoughts on Double Dragon Gaiden, Rise of the Rise.
Rise of the Dragon, Rise.
Double Dragon Dragons, Dragon of the Dragon with a Dragon. How to Tame a Dragon, Gaiden.
Taming.
Yeah.
Dragon.
Fallout.
I really think... The makers of Halo, Wheel of Time, The Witcher, they need to sit down and watch Fallout and figure out how you do an adaptation correctly.
Step one, make stim packs make the right sound effect.
It's the little things, and it's not like Fallout just faithfully adapted something that was already done either. It's its whole own thing, mm-hmm. but it made the world feel like the world in the games. It kept the feeling and it made you, I mean, cause it's one of those things, the whole premise of Fallout and everything, it's a shtick. It's so zany in reality that it's, you got to take everything tongue in cheek, but they did it and made it good. Like really, truly amazing.
Yeah. It's fun. I felt watching the arc. It's already renewed for season two.
Oh yeah.
Which is good. I did as a show, nailed the tone, did feel it dragged a little bit.
It had a moment here or there.
I thought it started very strong, which is good because it's going to be. That was the problem with Andor. Andor started slow and people didn't forgive it and didn't even get to the third episode, even though they dropped the first three so that people could get to the good episode right at the start. I think that's what hurt Andor.
Yeah.
Fallout.
I still think Andor is Fallout, the best of the
Star. The first two episodes are some of the strongest in the series. And yeah, it drags a little bit while you're following these different characters. And of course it takes a little while before their paths start to intersect, at least for some of them. One of the things I really liked about it though, is with the zaniness of it, like they even, and I guess after the show came out, they went ahead and like announced the stats, the character sheet stats or the characters. Cause you kind of see it. Cause you're following like this Brotherhood of Steel guy. And you're like, this guy is an idiot. And it's like, yep. No, his intelligence is like a 3. They literally made him stupid. And so he acts that way.
Yeah.
And so you just have all these different pieces coming together in that regard. There are a lot of little Easter eggs as well. I think there are a few of the Justified casts that were pulled in
because
Walton Goggins is known, at least by me. That's what I first knew him for, was Justified.
Yeah, me too.
And so there's some pieces like that. Kyle MacLachlan is in a few of the episodes. I'm waiting for him to write a Fallout sandworm. He doesn't do that, but there's some pieces to it that kind of reminded me of Twin Peaks. So
yeah,
I think they're looking at some stuff, knowing where some of these people are from as well. But a lot of relative unknowns are also starring in this.
Yeah. And so it was solid.
Yeah.
I think even the there's a couple of the little side characters who some of them aren't, they're only in an episode or two. Some of them don't even survive the episode or two, but they're great characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Yeah. And so, yeah, overall, it's interesting. It's taking a very different approach in the sense of it is doing a lot of flashback to before the bombs falling to set up some of the story arcs. And I think also that's to help humanize the ghoul that we are following in particular. So,
see, and I think that's something we'll probably see less and less of.
I think so. I think it was mostly just to sort of establish like that. Because, again, they are doing this so it appeases the fans, but it's like, well, what about people who've never played Fallout?
Right.
So they're not going to know like the vaults were a bunch of experiments on people unless that's laid out for them. Game will know that.
A box of puppets.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, very well done. This is the strongest video game TV show. I was going to say since, but I'm drawing a blank on TV show video games that have been done very well. There have not been very many that have gone the TV show route. Most go the movie route.
Right. Or if they go TV shows, they're animated, which is kind of a different animal.
Yeah, there's a lot. Because there's other things that you can work around because you're able just to draw it. But anyway, so yeah, it's very strong, especially for a video game adaptation. It's very strong. So even if you've never played Fallout, I think it's worth checking out. Now, the games have been reaping the rewards bigly out of this.
Oh, wow. Have they ever?
I've downloaded Fallout 76 because it was free for Prime members. So I was like, I'll go ahead and download it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was like, I read a little announcement. It was free for PC and it was free for Xbox.
Wow.
As long as you were a Prime member, there was a code to get through Prime. But yeah, because Fallout 76, when that game came out, I was like,
it was panned hard.
It was panned hard. And I was like, I don't want open world Fallout. Make Fallout 5.
Yeah.
And I still want Fallout 5.
Right.
But,
well, I mean, and the thing to remember is like Fallout 76, that came out like 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's old. It's old.
And they broke 1 million players in a day.
Mm.
In a 24-hour period, 1 million players. That's the first time that's ever happened. And for a short time, Fallout 4 was the best-selling game in Europe. While Fallout 4 was the best-selling game in Europe at that time, the top 10 list included 3 Fallout games. 4, 3, and 76 were all in the top 10 best-selling games of the week. So
I hadn't heard that. I want to think, and I might be misremembering, I wanted to think I read that Fallout New Vegas set a concurrent Steam record for the game after the show came out.
Yeah. And yeah, no, the Fallout 4 sales, just to know what it took for Fallout 4 sales to make it the number one spot in Europe, it had to jump 7,500%.
Jeez.
So, and to cap it all off, Bethesda did their Fallout 4 next gen update.
Oh, to make the graphics
better. That's to make smart. It work better on the new PlayStations and new Xboxes.
That's smart.
I have heard there's been some bugs, and my first thought was, well, of course there is. It's a Bethesda game.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
It's an update to a Bethesda game. Of course there's bugs.
Yeah.
But
it's what they do.
I would say this is 100% an enormous, enormous a win for Bethesda. Mm-hmm. And for Amazon. I mean, it's been huge. I've seen it listed everywhere. I've seen people talking about it everywhere.
Its critical review scores have been extremely good.
Yeah.
Like over 90%.
So. Yeah, it has done very well for them. So this is one of those like really enormous successes that a lot of times you don't really see or hear. And again, the fact that the showrunners seem to be treating it, the series, with so much reverence while making it their own and doing their whole own story is refreshing based upon the kind of stuff we've seen in the adaptation market lately. I mean,
yeah.
Too bad the Dark Tower movie couldn't have been as well done.
That was what it was.
So, Microsoft had some goodish news.
Well, they're probably happy about all these Fallout sales now that they own Bethesda.
Yes, that helps. They actually had a 51% increase in gaming revenue, primarily due to the Activision merger.
Not surprising given the size of Activision.
But
caveat emptor.
They had to, at the same time as they are making that announcement, announce that they had a hardware revenue had dropped 31%. Xbox console sales are dead.
Yep.
It's figured out. That's why. Yeah, that's why they're pushing onto other consoles. That's why
they're pushing. They're pushing PC.
Yeah.
Pushing Game Pass.
So the question is will how? I'm assuming that Xbox is going to try and get jump on the next gen. They're going to try to be first to market.
You're probably right. There's been some rumors floating around that for their next gen specs that they're, I've been hearing, let me put it a different way. I've been hearing more about their progress than I have about Sony. And I know Sony's got to be working on it. It's just, we're hearing a lot more talk about it out of Microsoft. And of course, if Microsoft now has the catalog of publishers that even if they still want to cross post on PC same day, there will be people in theory might finally give up their PlayStation in the next gen and get an Xbox. If there's enough stuff ready,
right.
Which wasn't the case when this latest console dropped. In fact, it's still kind of like Microsoft, you know, I'm saying this as someone who plays on Xbox, but like Microsoft, you've bought like a dozen companies. Where's all the like cool new stuff? Cause it's been a few years.
Yeah. I mean, Bethesda dropped Starfield, which let's face it.
They had far higher hopes than that. I mean, Starfield should have been a big deal. So we'll see if they recover their console sales next gen. It ain't happening this gen.
It's not. No, this gen's a loss. Last gen was a loss.
Maybe they'll just go out of business.
Oh, they won't go out of business, but they might become more software oriented. And there's always a possibility that they will leave the market of hardware sales. I mean, I have a hard time seeing it. Because even if they're not leading the market, it's not like they're losing money on the market.
That's a good point.
So
we would just have to wait and see.
Yes. Just like we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait years to see what the next BlizzCon is like. Because don't you all have phones? Because we don't have a BlizzCon again.
I wonder if that's killed BlizzCon forever.
Something has
definitely. Do we really need BlizzCon?
I don't think we really do. And I wonder how much of it is just that BlizzCon was a thing that Blizzard did that was like their own special kind of direct.
Right.
And now that they are effectively under Microsoft, they'll just be involved with the Microsoft directs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's necessarily a need because none of the BlizzCons that even existed in the build up to the last one in 2019 really had anything huge, because just Blizzard doesn't have enough stuff to handle or to put out a whole bunch of huge stuff. I think BlizzCon is much like E3, a thing of the past. I don't know that we're going to see it again, because it came back last year. It went over meh, and now they're like, yeah, we're not going to do 24. And they didn't say we're coming back next year. They said they are. They said that they will be looking into returning it sometime in the future.
Okay. Yeah. No.
So it might be held for like super special things.
Maybe if they put out a new product.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Oh, they're so excited because of their new 20th expansion for World of Warcraft that is going to completely change everything and set them up for the next, for the future of World of Warcraft, whatever that is. It's supposed to be some major change, and I don't know. It's World of Warcraft, and yay, they're putting out creepy looking crystal dwarves, and it's not
crystal dwarves. Maybe the shark that gets jumped,
yeah, because know. the pandas weren't.
Pandas seemed a bit. I was out before the pandas came, because I was like, come on, guys, that was a meme. That was an April Fool's joke, and then it turned into reality.
So, and last. And certainly least, we talked last episode about how Embracer was done with their restructuring, their setup. They're just going to sit down and make good games and put them out. That's where they are. And they kept that for like a week. And then they said, oh, by the way, we forgot to mention in our restructuring that we're going to go ahead and break Embracer Group up and cease to exist as Embracer Group. And we're going to form three new groups, three new separate companies. The Asmodee Group, which is strictly their tabletop gaming, which the purchase of Asmodee originally, a lot of people I've seen considers that the beginning of the fall of Embracer Group, because it was like a $2.67 billion purchase.
Wow.
That saddled them with a large debt that directly led towards their attempt to get the buyout from the Saudi retirement fund group. And when that fell through, that's when everything fell apart. Hmm. They're also separating a second group that they're calling Coffee Stain and Friends.
God, that's some marketing, like random, like that's asking AI, name an indie game company brand.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's their indie game group.
Even need to say it. Everyone who heard you knew that Coffee Stain and Friends meant that this was your small stuff.
Right. And the last one is Middle Earth Enterprises.
We swears it.
And Friends. Swears
it. And Friends, yes, do it. What? No, it really is? Oh, no, you can't say Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Is it Asmodee Group and Friends?
No.
That doesn't make sense then. What friends? You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you. This is, no, it's not and friends. It's not.
Let me double check. Maybe I just typed that in.
Come on.
It
can't be.
Type that in because I was laughing so hard.
I can't believe. Oh my god, when I type Middle Earth Enterprises, it pops up Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. No, I won't.
This is their AAA gaming group. And also the stewards of the licenses for all of the Lord of the Rings stuff and all of the Lara Croft stuff.
I won't allow this name. This name is not right.
You don't have friends.
Schmeagle doesn't have any friends. Nobody likes him. That's the whole point.
I never thought I'd die side by side with a coffee stain.
Would you die side by side with Middle Earth Enterprises? No.
Oh, this is not right. The head gentleman that I didn't write his name down for Embracer Group did an interview where he said that there may have been some mistakes made in the last few years that led to this. And if he could go back and do it differently, there are multiple changes that he would have made and done differently.
I mean, on the surface, this decision to break it up, I don't know if that's right or not. Probably to at least try and unsaddle the tabletop stuff as a lodestone from the rest of it. But they needed to rename no matter what.
Yes.
But not like this. Not like this.
And the thing is the Asmodee, the reason they went into so much debt for Asmodee is because Asmodee's huge in the tabletops. I mean, they were huge. They've got Ticket to Ride, and half of the really big Euro games are Asmodee games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they bought some little failing thing. But yeah, they definitely over-leveraged themselves.
Okay.
To enter a market that they weren't even part of. That was the thing, is because they entered a market they weren't there. Just like, I never really understood buying the licenses for like the Lord of the Ring licenses and stuff.
I don't know. Okay.
Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends.
I'm so disappointed in this name. That's real really bothers me. It's like they named the coffee stain thing first, and they're like, well, we have to kind of keep it unified. No, you don't. You didn't for Asmodee Group.
Well, they're trying to show that it's more than just Middle Earth. They've also got Lara Croft.
Okay.
So it should have been Middle Earth Enterprises and
this episode's going to suck.
I apologize for making you pull out the beeper for me multiple times.
God, this episode's way too long. I miss our old 40-minute episodes.
That's because this time we came with energy.
We did. And we weren't tired at all. We came with energy and friends. Well, if you want to be our friend, you can email us, eclecticgamerspodcast@gmail.com, or go to facebook.com/eclecticgamerspodcast. But if you really want to be our friend, you have to buy our friendship, and that's at patreon.com/eclectic_gamers. But it's as low as a dollar. It's low as a dollar a month, so we're cheap friends, but that's what it takes. If we get 500 subscribers, we'll rename you Eclectic Gamers Podcast and Friends. I'll go in and I'll rename it.
We will do it.
Yeah, we will. Well, and we'll add and Friends in the intro music. We go that far, but it takes 500 paid subs to do it. We're about 450 short. So get your friends to pay us the dollar.
Eclectic Gamers and friends.
I'm kind of thinking like how Diner does when you.
Oh man,
and friend. You know the.
Oh no, we totally need to do a redone parody version of the Golden Girls theme song. Thank you for being a gamer with friends. Yes. Going down the road and back again.
Yes, the road of gaming on Mario Kart.
Or rolling down the table and back again. Yes. You're flipping true. You're a friend and a confidant.
That should be behind the paywall, all this stuff. But I'm too lazy to cut
You're
it
too
out.
Lazy so, to cut it
so
out.
So it's going to be part of the main episode. All right. Well, that's all I have for them.
You can also reach us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's eclectic_gamers.
Yep.
No friends. Actually,
yet.
We have a bunch of friends on Instagram.
Yes, but we don't have it in our name.
Well, we don't have it in our name.
Yet.
I don't know how that works.
Well, We should have the episode in 2 weeks. I'm traveling, but I'll be back for that one. So we will maybe have more gaming news to talk about. Maybe yeah. there will be more breakups of what's left of not Embracer. I don't know.
They're gonna separate Coffee Stain and Friends to just Coffee Stain. Mm. And Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends to just Middle Earth Enterprises. And they're going to start a fourth one. It's just Friends and Friends.
Okay. Until next time, my name is Dennis.
I'm Tony.
Goodbye.
See ya.